The initial plan was to give a special share tonight, maybe a part-two share next week, then another related to Pidgin event. Not because they had any particular shout-out to the event, because next time we're going to make it for the event, actually, my grandson. It was on their mind a little bit, some of the things that Pidgin event. So I thought we'd just try to review a little bit, go through some of the more, I guess, more colorful questions that come up in the context of the Pidgin event. So the issue that I wanted to talk about tonight is the shout-out that hopefully never comes up. It's a lot of a sad part of the Pidgin event. But okay, sorry, I'm going to learn to the speak a little bit. And it's actually a part of Hilchos Pidgin Aben that really impacts perhaps more than any other aspect of Pidgin Aben on many, many other areas of Halacha as well. It's a question that's discussed at, a little bit in the Rishon and in the Gedolei Apostolim in Shulchan Aruch, but the following kind of a scenario. The Gemara tells us in the Maseches Kedushin that the primary obligation of Pidgin Aben rests upon the father. So the father is around, obviously it's his mitzvah. For whatever reason, the father didn't get around to doing it, so then the child, when reaching the age of bar mitzvah, becomes like a god, becomes chai, like any other mitzvah in the Torah. So that model, in terms of father as the primary obligation, then secondary in a sense, the person himself, so that model we find by bris milah also, a very, very similar model by bris milah. First the father does the bris, for whatever reason the father doesn't do it, then at a later point nobody else gets around to doing it, then the child himself does it. However, the post can raise the question about what about in the interim? What if the father is not around? Now, there are multiple reasons why the father is not around. Either the father is not around because he's physically not around, because never, maybe he's not alive anymore, or maybe he's out of town, or maybe he's not communicatable well, or sometimes the father is not around for halachic reasons. Namely, he is halachically not the father of this child. Now, this is unfortunately, I've been asked this question too many times. One time is too many times in this kind of a shalom, but unfortunately it's been several times. We have a situation where a Jewish girl marries a non-Jew, or together, whatever, living together with a non-Jew, and they have a firstborn, and that firstborn is Jewish, 100% Jewish. His mother's Jewish, and he's completely Jewish, and if he's the firstborn, so then, and obviously the father's not a Kohen, the father's not a Levi, not even a Jew, if this child is technically obligated to Pidgin Aben, we find ourselves in a very strange situation. If you have a Pidgin Aben, it's supposed to be performed, but there's nobody around to perform it because the father halachically doesn't really exist. So what is the din? What is the halacha? How do you perform, or do you perform a Pidgin Aben for a child if the father is either not physically around or not halachically around? So there are multiple approaches to this topic, and each one is really full of its own world of wonders, and each one really wants its own shiur. So we're going to try to just, you know, streamline a little bit, give the Rashi prachim in this right here, and keep on highlighting now some of the issues that are going to develop in touch with other areas of Halacha as well. So there is a comment of the Ramah in Siman Shin Hei in Yerodeh about the Siman of Pidgin Aben, where the Ramah quotes from a Rivash. Rivash is one of the earlier Rishonim, and there are others who claim the Rivash never really said it. It's not 100% clear the Rivash actually meant this, but at least the Ramah understood the Rivash to be saying as follows. That the Rivash's opinion is that Pidgin Aben can only be done by one of two people. Either it can be done by the father, or when the child turns bar mitzvah, it can be done by the child. Nobody else is an option to do Pidgin Aben, even if that somebody else is actually appointed as a shliach, the one of the two people mentioned before. So let's say, for example, the father is out of town. He would very much like to participate in the Pidgin Aben, but Maisi can't make it. So when he is, there's no Kohen around. So the father calls up somebody, says, do me a favor. You give 5 shekel to the Kohen, you be my shliach. So I would have thought that Shluch HaShalom came myself, that he's a shliach, he's an agent. So the same way one can appoint a representative to do many mitzvahs on one's behalf, I would have thought that Pidgin Aben is one of those as well. So there are more quotes in the name of the Rivash that is not true. The Pidgin Aben is an exception to the rule of shlichos. You don't apply Shluch HaShalom came myself to Pidgin Aben. So that is really a very startling statement because we can't quite pin down what the problem is. We know that there are certain cases in halacha that one cannot apply shalit l'stit. One of the examples is what we call a mitzvah shebagufa. So I can't appoint a shaliach to put tefillin on my behalf. So I want to oversleep a little bit tomorrow. Take the day off from shacharis. I'll ask somebody tonight, do me a favor, go to shul tomorrow morning and put daven at the 7 o'clock meeting for yourself and daven at the 8 o'clock meeting for me and put on tefillin for me at 8 o'clock. So all the posts can say that's absurd. That doesn't work. That's what's called the mitzvah shebagufa. It's interesting because it's not 100% clear why it doesn't work. The fact that it doesn't work is obvious. Why conceptually it doesn't work, but that's a little bit less than obvious. There's a ketzelus in the beginning of the shlucha that suggests the reason why it doesn't work is because shlichos, at the end of the day, can work on a ma'aseh, but it can't work on a guf adam. At the end of the day, I am my body and you are your body. The mitzvah that involves the body of a person, the mitzvah is, it's not a mitzvah to do a ma'aseh nocha tefillin. The mitzvah is to have tefillin on your guf. Let's say I take tefillin, I put tefillin on you. That's not my mitzvah, that's your mitzvah. Because the mitzvah tefillin is not a ma'aseh hanoch. It's not like mafresh truma, a ma'aseh of our freshest truma. So that can be done as a shaliach. The mitzvah has to relate to the guf adam, and shlichus from today till tomorrow doesn't change Reuven's body into Shimon's body. But if that's the reason why there's no shlichus in mitzvah shaliach, what does it have to do with Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBen is a ma'aseh pidyon. So if the father can do it, why can't he hire a shaliach? If the child can do it at 13, why can't he ask a shaliach to do it? It's very, very unclear why the Ramah conceptually claimed the shlichus doesn't work. There is a Chassam Sofer that writes in a drasha that he thinks that maybe the reason why you can't do a pidyon de shliach is more of a reason of pidrush than of pidalacha. He says that maybe it's based on the idea of ani v'lo shliach. That the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu did machas becheres on his own and didn't delegate it to a shliach. And when we're reminiscing machas becheres, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remembering the events of machas becheres. By performing a pidyon HaBen, we don't want to delegate our nation. But again, that's more of a drush reason than a pure halachic reason. So according to the Ramah and the supposed Rivash, there really would be no option available for him. If the father is not here, or is not present, not alive, or not Jewish, or not halachically present, if the father is not doing it, the kid is 30 days old, he's for sure not doing it, no one's going to do it. Even if the father would call up on the phone and report to shlich, it couldn't be done. According to the Ramah, the shayla is over, the sugya is over, the shir is over. But probably most of the Gedolei HaPoskim disagree with the Ramah. As I just mentioned, we don't even really understand conceptually why the Ramah said what he said. Most of the Poskim think it's not true. Most of the Poskim think that shlichas would work for Pidyon HaBen, including the Shach and the Taz and the Gra. Many, many Gedolei HaPoskim thought that if the father really truly appoints somebody as a shliach, that would work. The problem is that very often that's not the case. If the father is already appointed a shliach, he can already come to the Pidyon HaBen also. Nine out of ten shaylos that we have in Manazeh is that the father is not even on the radar screen. He's not appointing anyone to do anything. He's not even Jewish. He's not around. He has no shaykhus in his mitzvah whatsoever. So what would that locha be? Is there any way for us to do a Pidyon HaBen on behalf of this child without officially being appointed as a shliach? Or there is no other option. So again, according to the Ramah, even if there would be shliach, it's going to work. But according to the non-Ramah people, is there any other option available? So a whole group of Acharonim suggests a whole different approach. What's called Zochin Yadam Shalom Bifanov. The Gemara tells us in many places that I can do something advantageous for you without you even knowing it. So let's say, for example, I want to give you a gift, and you're in China. So no problem. I can go up to Reuven and say, Reuven, do me a favor. Pick up this sefer on behalf of Shimon. Shimon's in China. And you pick it up and have in mind to acquire it on behalf of Shimon. And when Shimon comes back, he'll be very, very happy to hear that he got his gift. The gift actually belongs to him. And the moment that Reuven picks it up on behalf of Shimon, Zochim Yadam Shalom Lefanov, providing that it was something that was advantageous. The Gemara says that the other half of the story is, Zochim Yadam Shalom Lefanov, the Ein Chavim Yadam El Lefanov. You can only do something that's advantageous to somebody without their consent. You cannot do something which is not advantageous, something that's detrimental to them. That's a basic principle. The Gemara derives this from Sukkim, from Torah, whatever the case may be. This is a Dimyon HaTorah, and we use this all the time. Just as a simple example, how we use it every Shabbos, in effect. Anyone who carries an Eruv is, by definition, relying on this principle, because the Mishnah tells us in Eruvim that whenever you have an Eruv, you have a communal area, so everybody, all the Shomer Shabbos people in the area, have to own a share of bread or matzahs. It's all sitting in one person's house, to show that everybody is one big happy family. When was the last time you went ahead and chipped in to buy a box of matzahs? So the answer is you didn't. But Erev Pesach, one of the rabbanim in town, bought a box of matzahs, gave it to somebody else, and says, I'm hereby giving over ownership of this matzah to all the firm people in town. Everybody in Pinet, in Bergen, everyone that's involved in Erev, should all have a share in these matzahs. Many people don't even know that it happened. Many people, they don't read the sign that says in the bulletin board of Bnei Shurin that there's a box of matzahs sitting in 2020's house as which belongs to you. So how does it belong to me? I didn't pick it up. I didn't even know about it. So the answer is, well, it's advantageous. Zach Liyadim Shalom B'Fanah. We invoke this principle of Zach Liyadim all the time. So come a group of Zach Liyadim and say, maybe we should invoke this principle when it comes to Pidyon HaBen as well. What would that mean practically? That means the father's not around. So we're not going to be able to do anything to help this. The father's not even Jewish. So the little kid is laying in his crib. He's 31st day of his, since his birth. And it comes the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So we make the following cheshbon. There's nobody help out this kid. We're going to do him a tovah. We're going to do him a favor. I'm going to take 5 shkolim, and I'm going to give the 5 shkolim to the kohen on behalf of this child, even though the child didn't appoint me as a shaliach. The child not up to appoint him as a shaliach at this point in his life. It doesn't matter. I'm going to step up to the plate without an official appointment, without being formally a representative of this. I'm doing him a big schos. Zach Liyadim Shalom B'Fanav. So Hogan Bacharenim raised the question, maybe that should work. Maybe Zach Liyadim Shalom B'Fanav should be effective. So there are multiple potential pitfalls in that solution. One of the pitfalls is, are we really sure that it's a schus? Remember we said that Zach Liyadim Shalom B'Fanav is only as true if it's a schus. If it's not advantageous to the person, then it doesn't work. So this is a very, very tricky question. Is this positive or is this negative? For me to go ahead and do a pidyon HaBen on behalf of a little kid, am I doing him a tovah or not doing such a tovah? So it depends on your perspective. The cup is half empty, half full. On the one hand, I'm making sure he has a pidyon HaBen, so he never will have to worry about it in future life. On the other hand, maybe one could argue, I just don't lose this. The kid gets this great opportunity in his bar mitzvah to do a mitzvah pidyon HaBen. Most people never get that opportunity to do pidyon HaBen for themselves. I just stole that mitzvah from the child. Maybe what I did, it was not advantageous. Maybe it was detrimental to him. If it's detrimental, then in chavni elamel b'fanav. So that's one potential pitfall, almost a logistical, technical issue. Does it really meet the criteria of being a schus? Another potential problem with invoking the principle of zach liyadim shalom b'fanav here is a whole different angle. Namely, does zach liyadim shalom b'fanav make sense for somebody who's under the age of a mitzvah? Now, normally, somebody under the age of a mitzvah really can't affect anything. Somebody under the age of a mitzvah can't buy, can't sell, can't appoint a shaliach to do things on his behalf. Can he have somebody act on his behalf through the principle of zach liyadim shalom b'fanav? Is there a zechiyah for a katan or not? Let's say I want to give a gift to a child, and the child's not around. Even if he's physically around, halachically he's not around. So I go ahead and I give it to Reuben and say, Reuben, here I'm giving you something that's very, very good. The kid's going to love. I'm giving you ice cream. You have in mind to be zochet, to acquire that ice cream on behalf of the child. Does that work or not? That's a big question. Is that effective? Does the chiyah work for a katan or not? So truth to be told, the Gemara in the fifth parak of Metzia tells us that it does work. The Gemara says explicitly it works. So what do I mean that's the machlokes? The machlokes says, does it work with HaTorah or does it only work with the Rabbanan? So there are half the Rishonim who understood the Gemara of Metzia saying that it really, really works. Even though a katan can't appoint a shaliach and a katan can't buy and a katan can't do anything, but one thing that can be done on behalf of a katan is the chiyah. And other Rishonim say, it's just a make-believe with the Rabbanan, just to make life easy for the Ketanim, but in terms of really truly working in that Torah, it's not going to work. So that, Machlokes, becomes critical for the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, because when we perform Pidyon HaBen, we want to make sure this works in the Torah. We don't want to create a make-believe Pidyon HaBen that only works with the Rabbanan. That's a bizarre thing. Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah deraisa. So we have to use deraisa as a criteria to fulfill this mitzvah. So now I have a strange phenomenon. I have a little baby, who the father's not around, the father's not Jewish, the father doesn't exist in halacha, he's not going to do a pidyon HaBen. So now I want to know, should I step up to the plate and do a pidyon HaBen on behalf of the child? I'm a nice guy, you shell out 5 shkolim money, give it to the kohen, give the money to the kohen, and do a hini mucham zumin lezakos b'shul hakotim. So half the achronim say, you can't do it because it's not as chos. It's detrimental to the child, wait till there's a mitzvah and do it himself. And other achronim say, even if it's advantageous, it's still not going to work. Forget about the logistic issue, is it as chos or not? Even if we ascertain that it is a schus, it's still not going to work because maybe you have no koch, you have no ability to do something on behalf of the child because ein zechila katan min haTorah. If the reason is the second reason, then it would obviously be a difference if we're doing it on behalf of the father. Let's say the father is alive, the father is here, and we're doing it as a schus for the father. So if you hold that the first reason is correct, the first objection is right, it's not a schus altogether, so So then maybe it's not a schus for the father either, because the father doesn't know how to do it himself. If you hold that the whole concern is because you can't do zechiyah for a katan, or the father is alive and well and halachically present, then maybe we could do zechiyah on behalf of the father. So there will be a nuance of difference. What is the reason for the objection? So the Gedolei Poskim, the Nosa Kelim and Shulchan Aruch have a big discussion about this. The Shach and the Taz and others go back and forth and back and forth. Can we pull off the stunt of doing the zechiyah for the fun of to enable pidyon aved to be done? So far we have two approaches to doing pidyon aved, not by the person, not by the party themselves. So one issue is what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the game's over. The Rambam says even if he was officially appointed to do it, he can't do it. There's no shlichus, nothing, zero. Only the child, by mitzvah age, or the father. Nobody else in the world can do pidyon aved for you. And according to most poskim who disagree with that Rambam, now we're opening up the possibility of doing it there as a chiyuv. So there is a shach in your day in Siman Shin Hei, a long, 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 long shach. So the shach suggests that maybe we could pull off the following stunt. If I, as an individual, want to jump ahead and go do you a favor, do a pidyon aved on your behalf, that may be very problematic, the shach says, because it's very possible that there's no zechiyah for a katan. But what I can do is, I can simply put together a beis din, and once I have a beis din has a whole other kalach in halacha. What's the authority of a beis din in halacha? The Gemara in Kedushin of the beis tells us we derive from Sukkim, there's a principle called an apotropos. Apotropos means a guardian. The halacha tells us that if you have a child who has a lot of money, the child's parents died, and the child is yorish, the child inherits a lot of money. So the kid's got millions of dollars, and he's 5 years old. So what are we supposed to do? Obviously, he doesn't know how to invest the money. He's not authorized to invest the money. He can't buy and sell. He's going to sit and just waste all his money on buying ice cream. So somebody has to step up to the plate and protect his assets. So the Gemara derives from the Pasuk that the halach is incumbent upon the Beis Din to appoint an apotropos on behalf of the child. How do you know which state where's the Pasuk? The Gemara is a fascinating derush. The Pasuk says in Pashas Naseh, when they divided Eretz Yisrael, so there were 12 shvatim, and each of the shvatim had a nasi. Nasi echad l'mata. There was a different nasi, a different prince, a different leader who was appointed to represent each shevet when they divided up Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, obviously, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, there were some ketanim, there were some people who had died but left Yerushas, and there were some people under the age of Amitzvah who were getting chalachah in Eretz Yisrael, getting a share in Eretz Yisrael. What right did the Nechim have to act on their behalf? So comes the Gemara and says, you didn't see him, were appointed to the date. That was amazing. The Shabbat was told, this is the job of the Nasi. These are not just dumb individuals. These are court-appointed guardians. So the Gemara derives the Din L'Dayrus that for all generations, it's incumbent upon the Beis Din in every community to make sure that the children's assets are taken care of. So the Shach writes that within this halacha, the halacha gives a free rein to a court-appointed guardian to do things on behalf of the katan that a regular person wouldn't be authorized to do. So says the Shach, what we should do is rather than as an individual stepping up to the plate and just doing a pidyon aved for the child, what we should really do is go through the vehicle of Beis Din, have the Beis Din appoint us as being an apotropos, and once an apotropos, then I could use his money and go ahead and do pidyon aved on his behalf. That's the Shach's suggestion. The Shach says that he thinks that it's this principle of Beis Din acting on behalf of children, which is the source for another fascinating halacha that appears in Ksuba Staf Yud Aleph and Aleph. That's the din of Ger Kochim. The Gemara has a fascinating din about Gerus, that a young child under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah can be converted to become Jewish by the Beis Din. And the Gemara says, that's okay, that works. Why does that work? Because it's advantageous. It's chus for the child to become Jewish. So what do we shem about it? It's chus of paper tomorrow. But we're not even sure that Zoch and the other works. We're not even sure that the principle of the Chiyah for a Kochim. What kind of game is this? How can it be that the Beis Din takes a 2-day-old baby and puts him in the mikvah? Maybe not 2 days, 2-month-old baby, puts him into the mikvah, and hope this helps. The kid becomes Jewish. Like, who authorized the Beis Din? It's such a wild thing. So the Shach said, you know who authorized the Beis Din? The Torah. The Torah by saying, Nasi Echad, the Torah that says that the Beis Din has the ability to step up to the plate and do things that are good for the Ketanim, so they can buy and sell property for them, they can invest their property appropriately. They can do pidyon aved for the ketanim, and they can even convert the ketanim. So in the realm of Beis Din has a free reign. Part of Beis Din's job is to take care of all the minors in the community, and that includes even halachas, not just the dinim mamadis, that includes mitzvahs of pidyon aved, that includes the sefer of geiros, that's all subsumed in the category of the apotropos of Beis Din. So we have multiple approaches to whether we're in favor of this idea of doing pidyon aved for children or not. So some of the posts you follow the Ramah says, forget it. You can't even budge. You can't do anything. Only the child himself at the age of Bar Mitzvah can do Pidgin HaBen, or the father can do Pidgin HaBen. Nobody, even if appointed, can do Pidgin HaBen. And other Acharonim say, no, maybe it works through Zechiyah, and others have some serious reservations about Zechiyah, both technical reservations that maybe it's not a Zechiyah, maybe it's not advantageous, and halachic reservations that maybe it's just a mechanism for Zechiyah, for custom doesn't work. So the Shach revamped it a little bit and said, rather than doing a Zechiyah, to do a Zechiyah derech Beis Din to the vehicle about the Shabbos, and that'll solve the world. And so far we have a few different approaches in the Zechiyah, what we should or should not do. Then there's a fourth approach that's taken by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that he thinks that our entire discussion was completely superfluous. Why is that? The Gaon says that Pidgin HaBen is a very, very simple mitzvah. It's simple dollars and cents. Namely, a child is born, firstborn, is Imo Yisraelis, that the Rechem, day 31 comes, the Torah declares that the father owes the Kohen 5 shekels. It's mamish. It's a debt that now has been applied to the father. The father is mechuyev to pay back a debt of 5 shekels. There's no grandiose religious. I mean, we make a mitzvah out of it. We make a bracha on it. We celebrate. We have a garlic and a sugar. We make a suda, put a kid in the tray. Whole 9 yards. But it says the Gemara, you wonder what it really is? It's like paying taxes. You're mechuyev to pay 5 shekel tax to the kohen. That's the mitzvah people do. Says the Gemara, imagine if, come April 15th, and somebody wants to do me a tayyib and pay my taxes for me. So this is great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I don't have to appoint him to pay back my taxes. I don't have to appoint him to pay back my loans. He doesn't have to go through the vehicle of the chiyah. If the chov is paru, it's paru. If the recipient of the chov gets his cash, gets his money, so the deal's done. It's finished. There's no more chov anymore. So says the Gra, when somebody else steps up to the plate and pays the kohen 5 shekels, he's not being mighty the father in the mitzvahs, the chiyah, the shlichos, the abezeret. It's simply paying off the father's debt. Once the father's debt is paid off, the mitzvah is done, the mail, the Pidgin HaBen is complete. That's a whole different angle. That's a very, very monetary angle of Pidgin HaBen rather than a religious angle of Pidgin HaBen.
That case will get this
That is true that if I decide I want to do Pidgin HaBen, so then I can choose which kohen I want to do it. So that is true. But the bottom line is the Ikar Mitzvah is going to be performed any kohen gets the money. So the Gra says, what's the difference whether I shelled out the money or somebody else? Without the money in my behalf. If at the end of the day, 5 shekel was put into, deposited into the kohen's bank account on behalf of me, whether I authorized that deposit or not, at the end of the day, the child is part of it. That's the Gra's finish.
Why does the Gra consider the to the
kohen?
It can't be
received.
You don't have any kohen.
Question is,
It's a game.
The Truman Tadeshi was asked that question. He said, imagine the father says, you know what, the kid's been screaming for the last couple of weeks. You know what, Cohen, you can have him for a few years. So Truman Tadeshi says, that's ridiculous. Truman Tadeshi says, it's a game that we play with the Cohen. We say, do you want to be played with your kid? This is fine. Maybe give them money. So Truman Tadeshi writes, we do it. Why we do it, it's not clear why we do it. The Rush says, he doesn't understand why we do such a thing. It's such a strange thing, the give and take, the dialogue that takes place. It's a good thing it's Aramaic, so no one understands it anyway. But it's a very, very strange dialogue. So the truth is that it's not fine. It doesn't mean anything. Even if the kohen says, I don't want to give the kid back, or the father says, I don't want to pay the money, it doesn't matter. You still have to do it. It's like any mitzvah, of course you have to do it. So it's not really an option. Really, the mitzvah is, the chiyuv is you have to do it. How did the Gra know that Pidgin HaBen is so monetary in nature? He took the religious angle out of it. So the Gra says, it's basically the Gemara condition. The Gemara condition says that let's say a father says, I don't want to do Pidgin HaBen. So no problem. So the Gemara says the kohen goes to Beis Din, and he tells the Beis Din, I have a shibud against the father. And he goes ahead and collects the money back from the kohen. The kohen can be back from the father. He can take the father's assets, he can go after the father's character, go after his land, go after his property. So he says the Gemara, you see that Pidgin HaBen is just dollars and cents. It's not anything more than that. And therefore, once the obligation is paid, paid off, and there's nothing else to talk about. It doesn't matter who did it, who was authorized, not authorized, everything is fine. So, in all of those setups, we have multiple approaches, I mean, from one extreme to another. We have the extreme view of the Ramon says, even if you're authorized, you can't do it for somebody else. Then you have the Gro saying, you don't even need authorization. You don't need anything. It just works by itself. Then you have the middle ground people, the Taz, the Shach, and the others, who are poking about different possibilities. Maybe you don't need pure real authorization. You can do it based on Zechiah. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe you need the Zechiah of the Beis Din. Maybe yeah, maybe no. A lot of different possibilities. What's the answer? At the end of the day, what do we do in these kind of cases? Unfortunately, I've been involved in a few of these cases. What do we do, Lamaisa? We know there's a child born. We know a pidyon ben has to be done. Now what? So what do we do? The father's not around. What are we going to do? So there is a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer where he relates a fascinating practice that existed apparently in Hungary in the early 1800s. He writes that the Rabbonim in Hungary used to view this as a sfeik of Adina. Now we're not really sure what to do. That according to some poskim, Rambam and others, this is not going to work. Just this pidyon ben done on behalf of the child, it's just not going to work. It can't be done by an outsider. Maybe it's not a chosin. Maybe it's a chifra. Every way you turn, there's some objection to this process. So it's not going to work. On the other hand, we don't want to leave things status quo. We don't want to say we're not going to do anything with this kid because this child already has issues. Mainly, there's no father around. The father may not be Jewish. The father's not allowed. Whatever it is, who knows? What's going to happen 13 years from now? If we're not going to do a pidyon ben, who knows he's ever going to remember to do it when he turns bar mitzvah? We've had it in yeshiva by us over the years. Many young men who've come to yeshiva, never pidyon ben, and in the course of their studies in yeshiva, they come to the realization, hey, we never had a pidyon ben. So we've been beside many, many pidyon bens for 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds over the course of the last couple of decades I've been in yeshiva. So here the Chassam Sefer writes, it's a real logistical problem, matter which way you turn. To do a pidyon ben, we're not comfortable doing it because I'm sure it's going to be effective. Not to do anything is also not fair because we may end up cheating the child. The child may never end up doing a pidyon ben properly. So the emphasis on Sofer writes, because of this problem, the minhag existed in Hungary was to do the pidyon ben misafek. Once the child reached 34th day, so misafek, we're going to do the pidyon ben without a bracha. I'm not saying we're going to make a big food out of it, a whole taram out of it, but misafek, we will do the pidyon ben on behalf of the child, and according to some, it's going to work. Rob's going to work. Shach's going to work. Whatever, we'll figure out an eight how to do it, and according to some, it's going to work. On the other hand, we're not convinced it's going to work, and therefore, we really want to remember when this child turns 13 years old that he should do it himself. We should do it over again a second time, it's so fake. Again, without a bracha, without maybe the whole fanfare, but we want to make sure this pidyon ben is done properly. So we're really going to do it in two stages. We'll do it on day 31, like the Shturim in Chedesh Tifteh, Misafek, based on somebody else doing it, representing the child. And then we'll do it again 13 years later, minus a month, Misafek again, just to cover ourselves a little bit. I'm such right, that was the custom in Hungary. But then it became a logistical obstacle to overcome. Namely, who in the world is going to remember this? Who's going to write this down? We can write it down in some ledger, in some book, and in the shul. Who says the shul will be around 13 years? Who knows the community? Who knows who's going to be alive? Me or them, So the other Chassam Sefer writes, what they used to do is as follows. They would take a little piece of paper, and they would write on it the following words. Sufik padui, this kid has been maybe redeemed. He's sufik doubtful whether he's out of prison or bed. Sufik padui. They would wrap it up in a little necklace, and they would put it on the child. And the child would wear this necklace until he turned 13. When he turned 13, I guess we'd say on the outside, open, take a little like ton capsule, open their bar mitzvah. So they would open, some rabbi at the age of 13 would open up this, and they'd say, oh my goodness, this kid's a sufik padui. That would be the code phrase to do a pidyon ben again. We suffer 13 years later. That's what we used to do. The Chashulchan lived a little bit after the Chassam Sofer writes that in Lithuania they never heard of these necklaces with maislach with something padoid. He said in Lithuania they used to just do pidyon ben. They just did it outright. That's not a great surprise. That was Lithuania was the world of the Gra. So the Gra held that you can do it. You don't need any shlichus or any zechiah. Just do it. There's no sveikus. You can buy the coin to the Greek to make a bracha. It doesn't bother the girl help. So the Chashulchan writes that in Lithuania, that was the minhag that they used to do it that way and finish it. So what's the minhag in Tinex? Do we have a minhag on this? Well, I've been involved with the Shail a few times. What's the minhag here? That's what the minhag is. So what I've told people to do is following along the lines of this. Sefer. I thought we should do it. There's nothing to lose. Maybe. Almost nothing to lose. Let's do it now. To me, what's going to happen in 30 years? Who can remember? Let's do it now, Misafik. And you know what? If you're already doing it, Misafik, it's probably better to do a Derech Beis Din. Because if you do a Derech Beis Din, then at least you have the Shach on your side who's saying that anything that's done by Beis Din is good. What constitutes a Beis Din? Well, you need a formal Beis Din. A Beis Din shall 71 and the 100 in Yerushalayim. The Beis Din shall give over there. You need three up on it. Sit down and make a Beis Din. If you have a real basis, I'll tell you, but even without a real basis, you can make a makeshift. We do our chadarim, we make principles, we make bases. We make a basin, we make a basin when we have to. So you sit down with three rabbanim together, you make a basin, and that basin authorizes the pidyon haben. So it's being done under the auspices of a basin, and technically speaking, that would suffice, at least according to the view of the Shach. So that would be, again, that would be a touched up way of doing it, derech acherim, instead of just doing it as an individual, doing it derech a quasi, real basis, a quasi basis, etc. But at the end of the day, we're still not 100% sure we've covered ourselves on a basis. So unless we're committed to the Gron saying the Yaisa finished the end of the discussion. So we want to almost have a little bit of a backup insurance policy, but I don't think it's going to fly in team that's going to suffer a puddle, piece of paper and a necklace and has to get to wear for 13 years, considering the fact that the type of kid we're dealing with here, the father's not Jewish, probably. That 99% of the time, the shadows are, the father's not Jewish. So what do you do? What other ace is available? About a year or two ago, so somebody had asked me, so from my shul, they asked me, Shaila, you were involved in such a case. I told them, we should make a suffix pidyon haben now. We'll make a machlokes beis din, we'll do another shud. And I said, and somewhere, somehow, someone should make a note somewhere that 13 years from now, someone should remember me suffix to pidyon haben again. So the guy said, no problem. So we made a note on his phone that his alarm should go off in 13 years. Yeah. Now, again, I don't know how the phone technology works, but by some chance, he switched his model for the next 13 years. So maybe it'll carry over from one phone to the next. This, I don't know. But he made a note on his computer. Maybe his computer will carry over. He made a note. Some alarm is going to go, some bell is going to go off somewhere in cyberspace in 13 years from now. That is going to say, it's going to ring Suffolk public. So the world has changed much from the days of Chacham Sofer till today. But the basic underlying issue in Halakha hasn't changed much. Namely, that we're still not 100% sure what to do with these kinds of cases. So therefore, many folks have the same kind of an idea. We try to cover our bases on day 31, and then we revamp again 13 years minus a month later to try to make sure that the kid is going to be a holiday. So again, this is fascinating. A lot of us have been to touch on Gabriel and other things, and Shlich, etc. So this is the part of Pidyon Haben that hopefully doesn't come up. So next Pidyon Haben better go smooth. Next week Pidyon Haben is much smoother than this. But this is a lumbus part of Pidyon Haben. So next Monday night, we'll try to come up with some other. Understanding part of
if the father of this child is Mishkaya, anytime after kicking his blood, I need that.
Yeah, but Halachmi, they're not really related. Halachmi, they're not related to each other. Yeah, so the mother, not the Gemara says that explicitly, that only the father has the chiyuv to be posed to the child, and the Gemara never mentions the klal. Unlike Prismila, where the Gemara does say explicitly the klal of chayev, the Pidyon Haben Gemara never mentions that. So it appears that it's not a chiyuv on the klal. It's just, it would be a nice thing to do to try to make sure this kid doesn't get something in the future. But in terms of the same level of chiyuv like Beis Din has for Bris Milah, probably does not exist for Pidyon Haben.